David, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. We want to start off with some of the basics today and give you a chance to talk a little bit about the Toastmasters organization, what it actually is for folks who aren't really familiar with Toastmasters.
Toastmasters is the leading organization that's dedicated to communication and leadership skill development. It's in 116 countries around the world. There's over 13,000 clubs and over 270,000 members worldwide.
Okay, so a lot of people and all over the world. Tell me about a typical club meeting, how it would go.
A typical meeting includes three main components, where you have your prepared speeches, where your members are able to give material they have worked on and meet certain objectives, and then get the second part of the meeting, effective evaluations and feedback instantly, both written and verbal. And there's also a portion called table topics, where you're asked questions on the fly and you're given the opportunity to respond rather quickly, similar to this radio interview.
Okay. So, and this is really important because as you described what is Toastmasters, you described it as a leadership organization. And I think the first thing that people who may know a little bit about Toastmasters would think is giving a speech. But it's more than giving a speech. It's being a leader. And to be a leader, you have to be able to, as you say, communicate and answer questions about whatever you've just spoken on. And that takes leadership.
Absolutely. Toastmasters recently refreshed their brand. And we really make sure that people understand that Toastmasters is where leaders are made. I've seen people start at one place and point in their journey on the program and end up somewhere they never thought they'd ever end up. And it's amazing just to watch people grow and do things they never thought they could do.
Yeah, it is interesting. And, you know, that confidence in speaking in front of a group leads to confidence one-on-one, doesn't it?
It does. The communication program, I think, is one of the main vehicles that people spend a good amount of time on. But the leadership development goes with that hand in hand. They both complement each other. And a lot of people think at some point in time that Toastmasters always is about public speaking. And we're really not about public speaking. That's just one of the components and vehicles and tools that's used along the path. It's about essential communication. We've all been to those seminars before where we have people that are delivering these messages with PowerPoints and they're just talking at us. And they're speaking in public, but if you're not communicating, they're just speaking in public. So you want to be able to effectively communicate with your audience to be able to learn how to listen to one another. Not just hear people, but how to listen and have those interpersonal communication skills, because that helps build your leadership skills in turn.
All right. Really having a dialogue. And as we talk about Toastmasters, and you talked about the fact that this is an international organization, give me a sense of who joins the organization if someone were to go to a meeting after hearing this interview?
Everyone. I've seen unemployed. I've seen retired students. It's everybody around the world. There are community clubs. There are corporate clubs. It's people that really want to hone in and develop their communication and leadership skills. So it's really all walks of life. The entry level is you're 18 years of age, of course, but they also have programs for youth leadership for those that are working towards that. So when they are 18, they can become a member.
And I would imagine a lot of the folks that are at the meeting have been invited by somebody. That's a big element of what happens.
I would say probably 50% of the people that are at the meetings were invited by a guest. And the other half would be from people outside because they've heard something about the program from somewhere, whether it's on news, different media outlets, or through friends. In some cases, there are supervisors and managers in the corporate environments wanting their employees to go to a Toastmasters program because they think they have a future and they believe in them, and they've been part of the program as well. So they encourage their employees to do that as well because they've seen the value and the benefits of the program.
Okay. I want to get a little understanding of some of the history of Toastmasters. When and how did it start?
Ralph C. Smedley started this in 1924 in Santa Ana in the basement of the YMCA of all places. And he saw an opportunity for men to be able to, I think it's more about developing their inner confidence and be able to be successful out of college. And there really wasn't a methodology that had been established for that. So he started the program. And from that, it started continuing to grow in the United States and then in Canada and then Scotland. And then next thing you know, it's everywhere. It's in almost every country around the world right now. So one man's dream of seeing other people be successful is now where we are sitting today, and it's our reality. And I think we can only go up from here.
Okay. You mentioned that when it started, there was in a basement of a YMCA. Give me an idea of the typical place where Toastmasters meet.
Toastmasters meets in a number of different places, whether you're on Capitol Hill and you're working in the White House, or you're working in a corporate building and it may be in a boardroom. You could be at a local diner or community center or library or college campus. They're everywhere. They have a number of clubs. Even on U.S. Armed Forces, Air Force Base, there's a couple that even have started clubs recently. So they have them all over the place. Mm-hmm. You can find them. I would be surprised to find them. I'm not really sure actually where I would not think of a place. They're everywhere.
They're all over the place.
They're all over the place.
When someone says to you, when you're talking about Toastmasters with somebody, and someone says to you, why should I join this organization? What do you say?
My answer usually is I had the opportunity to do it when I was in college, and I watched people that participated in it and how it helped them grow and be successful and start their own businesses. And I'm wondering how my life would have been different had I done it then. Now, while I'm a man of principles, I don't live my life with regrets. I am who I am today because of my choices and decisions. But I do often just wonder, what if? But I take it with what I have now. So I look at it as, if you have the opportunity to do it now and take care of it now and be a part of it, your life will be so much richer because of it.
How's your life richer?
It's taught me a lot about myself. When you learn these key communication skills, you learn more how to control how you're listening to people and how to respond and really develop those interpersonal skills. When you're able to actually have those conversations and have it where it's actual dialogue, it's not just something on someone else's mind, they already know what they want to say, but you're actually listening to someone all the way through. And to be able to articulate a response back based on that feedback and use your critical thinking skills that God gave you, I think there's something to be said about that, because I wouldn't be sitting here now doing this had I not been given that opportunity 7 years ago. Hmm.
So that's your success story. When you think about Toastmasters, do you think of anybody else that you've known that has been, in your view, a success story that has really seen an impact in their life from joining this organization?
When I first joined, I was at a corporate club, and one of the members' first or second projects, they somehow were very reluctant to speak. They were in tears all the time. They were just, because they were so scared of being up there and talking just in front of people, because they were just anxious. And to this day, that still happens to people. But I watched her continue to grow, and the way she continued to develop her communication skills, to increase her confidence, she started growing, not realizing what she was doing, even though after her 10th or 20th different project, she still said, oh, I'm so anxious, I'm so nervous, I can't do this. But her supervisors promoted her and said, you know, you're able to do this. And she started training small groups of individuals to the point where she ended up being the corporate training person in the human resource department. For someone who started just being able to spend a few minutes giving a 4 to 5 minute presentation and starting in tears, to a point where she's leading hundreds of people without any kind of notes or materials and getting a pay raise 5 times over. So that to me is a success story, to watch somebody who was scared to death and didn't want to continue because they were so reluctant and so intimidated. And wow, to watch her grow, that is a success story. And that's why I do it, is to see people like her do things like that.
That must have been incredibly rewarding to see, because, you know, you mentioned that that led to a promotion, but quite frankly, someone working in human resources, that would be a key just job competency. I mean, that not only allowed her to be promoted, but probably allowed her to stay in that field, because you have to be able to connect to people in a field like human resources. This leads me to the question about you. I mean, what do you do, and how has this helped you in your job?
Well, Toastmasters helped me run meetings day to day. And part of that in my job, I deal with enterprise resource management. So we're always having to make decisions on the fly.
What is that first? What's enterprise resource management? What does that mean?
It is, think of every facet of an organization: accounting, finance, budgeting, planning, your project management, human resources, procurement, the whole business unit, the stuff behind the curtain that makes the business run.
Okay.
That all is contained within one system. And those, any decision you make can affect the entire group that you work with. So when you're working with government contracts, for example, there are requirements and rules that go with that. So there has to be decisions made within the systems that we work on and develop that help make the business run a lot smoother. So when we have these constant meetings and decisions are having to be made, part of that is learning how to communicate and articulate the points you're trying to make sure everyone understands. And at that, because that's half the battle, and the other half is how to run productive meetings and not let things kind of go off on a tangent. Because we've all had those meetings that run for, well, they just run longer than they should. So that's one of the key skills that I've actually helped. That's helped me learn how to run productive meetings and to be able to clearly articulate the message and achieve the goal we're trying to achieve in those meetings.
And in this position, are you working at one firm, or do you work for many firms helping them do this?
It's just within one agency.
Within one agency, okay. Obviously, incredibly important to have good communication skills when you're doing something that you do, where you're looking at how all the parts of an organization interact and how they affect each other. Give me a sense of how you feel there's been this direct connection between Toastmasters and some of the things that you've done in your job. I mean, is there something that stands out in your mind when someone asks you about that? Maybe an example of you in the workplace and succeeding in a way that you might not have been able to succeed without your Toastmasters experience?
I would say probably two things in particular, and part of it was just a life lesson, but I don't think I would have learned it as quickly had I not been able to practice this in the Toastmasters environment. But I learned very quickly and at a very young age that the only thing that I have control over is myself. And I don't allow outside forces to affect how I feel, how I respond, how I react, because I'm in control of that. And in the past, that's something I think that a lot of people, including myself, have struggled with. So realizing if I have a presentation or if I'm on an interview or having to have decisions made, and I can't just worry so much about what's going to happen around me. All I can focus on is what I am responsible for. Because while in the end you can delegate responsibility as a manager or director, you can't delegate accountability. So that's where I take responsibility and I'm held accountable for what it is I do. And in this program, it allows me to do that and do it okay, because in your environment, it's a safe environment in the Toastmasters Club. You can go in and do those presentations, have those conversations, and get that dialogue. And it's a safe place to do that. Whereas if you're doing your presentation, that's your one shot. So I would say that's the one thing that leads to mind. The second was, I was even talking with our CFO not too long ago, and I told her that I'm not sure I would have been able to get this job years ago had I not had the Toastmasters program. And the reason was, simply put, because these questions, they give you a list of questions during any interview. Everyone goes through that when you're actually interviewing for a job. So when you practice this week on and at every Toastmasters meeting, the table topics, you're constantly going to be able to be practiced and ready for that job interview. You're going to have an edge upon everyone else. So that's why I see the value of people that are looking to advance their career or maybe in a place right now where they're not at the optimal place and they're wanting to go out and have opportunities presented to them, they're going to have that interview. And so come to a Toastmasters club and be able to practice that and be at the top of your game.
Wow, that's interesting. And it really emphasizes that point that speaking, whether it be in a presentation or simply answering questions that you may not have been expecting, is really about critical thinking skills. It's not just about speaking. Along these lines, it's one thing to give a presentation when you've had a chance to sit down and do research and maybe even do an outline, maybe even, think about some specific stories that you want to tell in a presentation. It's quite another when you're asked to present on real short notice. Tell me about how you'd react if someone in your job, and I'm sure this happens in your job, if you're asked, hey, I want you to present something on this, and you have very little time to prepare your presentation.
My initial response is when and what time. 5 years ago, I would have tried to find every excuse in the book. Well, I've got this to do, I've got this to do. I would have just delegated to someone else. Uh-huh. But that actually happens quite a bit. And even last week, we were asked to do a presentation to the agency, and I had maybe a couple hours notice. So it's one of those things you got to do it, and you just got to get in the mode. You understand, ask questions. You know, who is my audience? That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. How long do you want the presentation to be, and what supporting material do you want behind it?
Mm.
So typically, if you just know those three things and you make your objective clear, you can give a presentation on the fly pretty quickly.
Okay. Tell me about your particular Toastmasters club and what you like best about it.
My Toastmasters club is in Fort Worth, Texas. Its name's Cowtown Toastmasters. We meet Monday mornings at 6:30 a.m.
Ooh. You're an early riser.
Everybody has that response. But while clubs meet every day of the week, different times at lunchtime or in the evenings and weekends, I see value in starting your day off right, starting your week off right, because it's a great experience to be able to go and share that experience with your fellow colleagues that you've been with for a number of years. And I want to let you know that we start every meeting with our various introductions, but we remind people of the mission of the club, which is the mission of the Toastmasters Club is to provide a mutually supportive and positive learning environment in which every member has the opportunity to develop communication and leadership skills, which in turn fosters self-confidence and personal growth. And we recite that week after week because we want to remind our members why it is we come each and every week. We have friendships there, sure, but we also want to see each other not only do better, but be better. So I love, it's the good old West, but yes, it is 6:30 a.m., but it's a great way to start the day and start the week.
All right. So you have a personal connection to this every single week, and it's kind of neat that it starts the week every Monday. And this has led you to become an international director with the organization and, of course, traveling many places, including here in Las Cruces. Now that you've come this far, what do you consider your next step?
That's a good question. Serving on the board of directors is we serve for 2 years, so I've got another year on the board. At this point in time, I think I want to continue just to maintaining my leadership skills and my communication and really focus on those and just maintain those. As far as what opportunities lie ahead, I won't close any door necessarily, but I'm happy where I am now, and I want to continue serving the organization in whatever capacity in which I'm asked to do.
Have there been any surprises in being one of the international directors for you?
I think the biggest surprise is probably how welcoming everyone is, because you're going into a foreign environment where you don't know anybody, or if you do, it's just a very small group of people, but how welcoming everyone is and how encouraging they are.
As part of that, as we wrap up today, I've kind of hit on this a little bit during our conversation today, but what would you say is the most important thing you would tell friends or family about Toastmasters and what this has meant in your life and what it could mean in the lives of other individuals who decide to take this journey?
I would say the most important thing is take the opportunity while you have it. We've always learned over time that you don't really miss something till it's gone. I think that's a cliche, but I mentioned earlier, I wonder what my life would have been like had I done it 10 years ago when I had the opportunity. So I encourage people to take the opportunity now and not wait, because you may never get that opportunity again. It may have taken you 5 or 6 years to get to that point, to step into that, I guess we'll call it the uncomfort zone, because mm-hmm. nobody likes the feeling of being uncomfortable. But it will really, I think, make your life much more rewarding. The experience of self-confidence and personal development is something you can't teach in a university and you can't buy in a store. And it's something you can only experience in a local Toastmasters club.
Okay. David McAllister, he is an international director with Toastmasters. David, thank you so much for being with us.